I promise, because I keep teasing at the Kyrie stuff in a second. One more call on IT, though, because our pal Elliot in Boston on the phone. How are you, Elliot?
Guys, how you doing?
What's up, man?
You know, my thing with Danny Ainge is Danny Ainge is always keen on keeping his options open. And if you believe Jackie McMullen, what she said on Bob Ryan's podcast was that Danny Ainge was offering everyone for a first-round pick, including Isaiah Thomas. Now, take that with a grain of salt, because Jackie McMullen was also screaming that Doc Rivers was coming back, and then 2 weeks later, he was at a Clippers press conference. So right now, the moniker for Jay Crowder is that he's the best contract in the league. I think that should be the moniker for Isaiah Thomas. He's a starting point guard on a team that's projected to win at least 50 games or more, and he's going to average more than 20 points a game, making less than $7 million a year. I mean, when you consider the value on that, he should be the best contract in the league. But I do also think that Danny Ainge doesn't marry any one of his players, and if there are other superstars that are available, you have to consider, including Isaiah Thomas in any deal that comes up because of his contract, because of his value on his points per game basis. And if he's healthy, then he could be someone that would be pitched to another team. Now, yeah, he is on a 1 year deal. You do have to extend him next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happens like we expect it to happen until next offseason if Isaiah's still on this team.
All right, perfect transition into the Kyrie Irving conversation, because Elliot has called in about this before, as many of you have. He is someone who would happily give up Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, and I think, I don't want to put words in Elliot's mouth, I don't know if he said and Jaylen Brown or no Jaylen, but and one of those either Nets or Lakers picks. This is the stuff that's been floating around. B-Rob, you've written about this on the Boston Sports Journal as well. What would you be willing to give up for Kyrie Irving? Now, personally, and I'll preface this whole discussion with this, I don't think, and B-Rob has really, dissected all of this. If he disagrees with me, or McCone, if you disagree with me, or anyone else out there, feel free to, stop me in my tracks. I do not see one single trade that you could present me, not one, that is a win-win for both sides. I don't think it exists. I don't think there is a trade option between the Celtics and the Cavs, where clearly Isaiah is going one way and Kyrie's going the other way, but Cleveland would want more pieces from Boston. It's not a one-for-one. Then it's a no-brainer. And even some of you still wouldn't do that, by the way, but to me, that's a no-brainer. I don't see one trade option that is a win-win for both sides. Now, I've also felt that it's not even realistic. Like, that short of Danny Ainge making the call and doing his due diligence, which I've told you for weeks, like, yeah, that was going to happen. Clearly, that shouldn't have surprised anybody. But really, how much further would it go down the line? Interesting comments during the week from David Griffin, now former Cavaliers general manager. He was on The Jump, the ESPN show, and was talking about Kyrie and his places of interest. Because who are the teams that we've heard? We've heard the Spurs. We've heard the Knicks. We've heard the Suns, we've heard the Heat.
The Wolves.
The Wolves. Those are the five. Those are the five teams that we've heard. Thank you, B-Rob. Well, maybe there were more than five. Here's some of what Griffin had to say.
This is a guy whose list included really good coaching situations.
Right.
Brad Stevens and Popovich. This is the guy who recruited LeBron Hayward and a host of other free agents when he decided to sign and stay in Cleveland. And all of a sudden, LeBron came back.
Right.
So he was sold a totally different situation than he's actually in, and he worked very well in. He won a championship in, and I see this as him looking for a fit for himself now to take the next step in his career.
Okay, so first name he throws out is Brad Stevens and the Celtics. Did we hear that right? Did he actually say that? Did he say Brad Stevens and the Celtics were on Kyrie's list? Sounded like he said Brad Stevens and the Celtics were on Kyrie's list. But you know what? We were listening quickly. Maybe we glossed over it. Maybe that didn't happen. Anyway, David, what else do you think about Kyrie? Like, where would it make sense for him to fit?
What that doesn't always allow is for a player like Kyrie to test his boundaries a little bit and see how good he can really be. And can I actually be the front man of a team like that? And again, the team's on his list. Gordon Hayward in Boston and Kawhi.
Oh. So now it's Gordon Hayward name drop in Boston. So not only is David Griffin twice mentioned the Celtics, he's twice led with the Celtics. Now, is that because it is an instant winning situation? So are the Spurs, who we mentioned second, who, like Paul George going to the Thunder, I think it would be desirable for Cleveland to send him to the other conference, not to a rival. But clearly Kyrie would have a better situation for himself in Boston, could be the guy, even ahead of Hayward, certainly ahead of Horford, more so in a winning environment than necessarily the Heat or the Knicks, Suns in the other conference. Spurs, to a certain degree, you'd have to fall in line, because again, there just aren't any personalities on that team, but they win, so, you know, testament to Popovich. This is now the former general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, a guy who also was out the door before this Kyrie Irving trade request happened, publicly anyway. But there were the reports that he kind of wanted out last year after winning the championship. So maybe this type of thing has boiled under the surface for a while. And if there's anybody that I trust to know about it, it would be David Griffin. McCone, B-Rob, how much stock do you guys put in what David Griffin had to say this week?
I think the Celtics probably were interested. I'm not sure how realistic it is, but I'm sure that when they were talking to Kyrie, he said, yeah, I would be open to going to the Celtics. So I certainly believe him. I don't think this came out of nowhere. You hear the reports that, you know, he wasn't talking to his teammates and stuff like that throughout the playoffs. So I think David Griffin was probably involved and knows a little something about what was going on behind the scenes during this Cleveland run here. So, yeah, I believe the report. How realistic it actually is, I'm not sold on that, but.
Yeah, I think this was calculated by Griffin. I think it is coming from, maybe pushed out by Kyrie's camp, just in terms of a place. Again, it had been below the surface here, but with maybe trade talks weren't going well with those other teams, so he's trying to push a different destination. And again, the realistic factor, would Cleveland be willing to send their all-star to a rival? Would the Celtics be willing to, you know, give the Cavs enough and strengthen their own rival? These are all legitimate questions, but on the surface, Irving is 25. He's a better player than Isaiah Thomas. He's signed for the next 2 years, which could conceivably help the Celtics with luxury tax stuff down the line if they don't want to pay Isaiah next year. So I think, again, I'm not betting it happens, but it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
I asked it before, is there a trade between these clubs that makes sense for both teams?
So I wrote about this, Adam, last week on Boston Sports Journal. And my question for you are, Isaiah, Crowder, like Rozier, is that too much for you from the Celtics' perspective? Or do you think the Cavs wouldn't take a deal like that?
I don't think the Cavs would take it.
Okay.
I think they'd want to pick.
What if you throw in the Memphis pick?
I don't think it's enough.
Really?
It just depends on whether the Cavs really feel they're over a barrel here and this can't be mended.
Right.
You know, that he... And it's, we've talked about this. It's, there's a difference between, there's a big difference, especially considering who we're talking about. There's a big difference between saying, I want to be traded versus I want to be traded, I don't want to play with LeBron anymore. Big difference. And I don't know that can be repaired. And I don't think the Cavaliers necessarily believe they can be that it can be repaired, regardless of what, you know, Dan Gilbert's been saying. I just don't see the Celtics being the most realistic target. And part of the reason why I say, B-Rob, that's not enough, like to you, to anyone reasonably minded, I think it's very easy to say, okay, like we're giving you a guy that had a better year last year than the guy that we're getting. Isaiah, even though he's not a better player, he had a better year last year than Kyrie Irving did. Nobody would dispute that. Jay Crowder is a good depth piece on a great contract. Rozier, useful piece. Memphis pick, who knows? We'll see what it turns into. They're rebuilding down there. That seems like a reasonable package. If I'm the Cavs, my reaction to that is, yeah, that's all well and good, and maybe it works on paper, but we don't really know what your guy's hip situation is. We don't know what the hip situation is. So are you really giving us enough back right now for this trade to be worthwhile if your guy's hip is not in good shape, if he ends up needing surgery, if he demands a max contract and we don't want to give it to him and he leaves? So that's why I say to you, I don't think that's enough for the Cavs.
No, and that's a fair point. If the Cavs don't like Isaiah Thomas, then they're not going to take that deal. But the thing is,
they don't like Isaiah Thomas. They're not going to take any deal.
Right, exactly. That's
what I'm saying.
They're not taking that deal. Yeah. They're not taking no deal because Isaiah has to be the centerpiece to any Irving deal in my mind for a variety of reasons. At the same time, I'm not sure how much better like they're going to get elsewhere in terms of if they want to really win next year, the Cavs, you're not going to get a better package than that, I feel like, in terms of guys to make one more run at the Warriors with if you want to get rid of Irving.
So what about, and I don't know if this is on the table even, but these are the things that have been floated. What if you're working a deal with the Suns and you're getting Bledsoe back? What if you're working a deal with the Knicks, it's a three-team thing, and you're getting Melo back?
You like Bledsoe over Isaiah next year?
Well, no, I don't. But if I don't feel like...
Because those packages, Adam, are like Bledsoe and like Bender or like Dudley. And I feel like Isaiah and Crowder is better than... That's a better 1-2 punch than most other teams can give you.
I just think if there's one thing that we love, that we celebrate about Danny Ainge, it's that he's not going to allow himself to, in his mind, get ripped off in a deal. And sure. So if he's giving up much more than just Isaiah Thomas, I think he's really antsy about doing that. And as we don't really have time for this element of the conversation right now, but we have spent time on it before. On the court, I don't question who Kyrie Irving is. I don't question the skill set or any of that. Mentality-wise, though, McCone, I do question Kyrie. I question a guy who's 25 years old, is 2 years away from free agency, when he'll really just be entering his prime and can do whatever he wants and go wherever he wants and lead his own team and everything that through his people he has been talking about, but currently is in one of the best situations in the NBA, second maybe only to the Warriors, and is already taking more shots per game than the guy that he's bitching about, LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken more shots per game than Steph Curry in the Warriors. LeBron defers to him in late-game pivotal moments as it is, which is why he's hit one of the biggest NBA final shots in history, and he wants out. I question the guy who wants out of that situation because he wants to go run his own thing when he very well may be in that same place a year from now if LeBron leaves.
Yeah, look, you can want out too, and that's fine, even though I'm with you, and I question the fact that you're leaving a situation where you've got the best player in the world in LeBron James on your team, and that's going to give you the best possible chance to win. And like you said, too, he's taking more shots than LeBron, so I'm not sure what more you want other than your buddies to be on the plane like LeBron has. It seems like it's more off-the-court stuff that he's jealous of than the actual on-the-court product. And a huge red flag for me, too, was the fact that he stopped talking to his teammates throughout the playoffs. That report came out this week, I should say. And to me, you're pulling that... right? Nailed it. If you're pulling that stuff during the playoffs, like that's the one time I think you can want out, but that's the one time you really need to just kind of pull together and say, I need to man up here and we'll figure this out at the offseason because we have a chance to win the championship. So that was a huge turnoff for me as well. So I kind of question the motivation, first of all, of Kyrie Irving. Where is it at? Does he want to win or does he want to be the guy? And then also kind of the character issue too, and just – that's a tough look. To pull that stuff in the playoffs, to start doing that, I'm not crazy about that. I'm not sure if that's a guy I'm hot and bothered to be building around.
Isn't he definitely going to get traded now, Adam, after stuff like that's coming out?
100%. Yes, you're right.
Like, this is saying the stage right now, I feel like.